RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Soccer Matters.
Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, sources are saying that Zlatan Ibrahimovic, I am Zlatan, has agreed to terms with Manchester United and moved to Old Trafford to play for Jose Mourinho. Now, Mourinho has been in contact with the striker about a prospective move all the way back to March. Ibrahimovic is 34 years of age, will be a free agent when his contract with Paris Saint-Germain runs out this summer. So, how about that? Not that it might be unexpected. Portugal today, 1-1 with Iceland. And the small country of Iceland getting a draw with Portugal. We'll talk about that. Welcome into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, if you were out at Mexico-Venezuela last night, I want to get your comments about that game. The audio, the commitment on the field, the passion last night at Energy Stadium, it trumped, producer Tyler Scott, the wasting of a tremendous amount of beer. You know, you think about all that beer that's thrown. A friend of mine, Carlos, reminded me, he said, every time all that beer's thrown, think of what's been paid for that beer.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of beer wasted. And by the way, I had a lot of friends who came home last night saying they were absolutely soaked from beer being thrown last night. Close to 70,000 people. I don't know what the number was. Mexico and Venezuela put on, I just love how competitive that game was. What a story Venezuela is. They took a 1-0 lead. Hadn't been scored on in the tournament. Just an incredible atmosphere. Jose Velasquez, a wonderful goal, side volley, kind of a sidewinder. Hit it sweetly in the 10th minute. And then Jesus Corona in the 80th. Saved the trip to the East Coast to Boston and potentially a matchup with Argentina. And it ended in a 1-1 draw. Portugal and Iceland today in the Euros, a 1-1 draw. Nani in the 31st minute. 50th, Bjarnason for Iceland. And Cristiano Ronaldo then comes out after the game, kind of criticizes Iceland for their defensive tactics. And his quote was, I thought they won the Euros, the way they celebrated at the end. It was unbelievable. He was taking a shot at this small country that gets to this huge moment. They got a ton of fans there. They get a 1-1 draw against, if he's supposedly, as he says, one of the great soccer players in the world, I don't think there's any question. They get a 1-1 draw and they celebrate because it's history for them. This is what the tournament's about. Don't bag on Iceland. Okay, yeah, let's condition it. He was frustrated. I hate when high-profile athletes like Cristiano Ronaldo comes out and criticizes a small country like that, like he's unaware of what that moment meant for them. Like he didn't have those moments? Come on. Show a little humility and class. God, some grace. 713-780-3776. Think I'm making too much of it? So, more human rights abuse coming out of Qatar. Woman raped a Dutch woman, and then they throw her in jail. She's raped. She reports it. They throw her in jail. How can FIFA allow this tournament to go on there, honestly? Do you think sponsors will ever step up and say, we're pulling out because we don't agree with what's going on in Qatar? Sponsors not stepping up. Blind eye. I mean, the violations, the deaths going on for the stadiums, treatment of women. It's disgusting. How the heck can you have a World Cup in Qatar? They didn't even have any soccer history. Give us a break. 713-780-3776 tonight is the number to call in. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. Naib Moran of ESPN FC, he'll be in studio. We'll talk about the Mexico game last night. Daniel Balaguero, also in the St. Thomas University men's coach. They're having an ID camp. We'll talk about that, college soccer, why it's important to go to an ID camp. 703-780-3776. U.S. midfielder Jermaine Jones will be on the show ahead of the U.S.-Ecuador this Thursday in Seattle, a true home crowd for the United States. So what do you think about Jurgen Klinsmann now? I think the U.S. is going to beat Ecuador on Thursday. And they're going to be coming here to Houston, Texas, to play at Energy Stadium in the semifinals. Let's get your thoughts on that. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Again, I was there at the Mexico-Venezuela game last night. Were you there? Did you get home without having beer spilled on you? Or did you not mind the beer shower last night? Venezuela scored a wonderful goal in the first few minutes. That put them up 1-0. Incredibly organized, well coached by Rafael Dudamel, who used to be a goalkeeper for them. He's got a very well-traveled career. Athletic was Venezuela. And the Vino Tinto are a real story here in the Copa America Centenario. I might have stole a little thunder from Mexico last night, quite frankly. The way they played the game was pretty incredible. Great moment when Chicharito came on. Place went nuts. So it was a great night. Mexico and Venezuela. Great night in a lot of ways. Great night, not so much in some other ways. And we might talk about that tonight. 713-780-3776. Italy with a huge win over Belgium yesterday. What a day for Italy in the Euros. Manager Antonio Conte with a wonderful tactical outing as a manager. Conte's got ideas. We saw him with Juventus. And if you're a Chelsea fan, I bet you like the prospects now of your new manager coming in, Antonio Conte. 713-780-3776. Let's be careful, though, that this was not a one-off performance from the Azzurri. I don't think it is. But again, we'll find out on Friday how they fare against Sweden. And, quote, I am Zlatan. So thank you again for joining me here tonight. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Podcasts of this show always at podcastarena.com. 713-780-3776. Is the number to call in. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Give us a follow on Twitter. Also, Glenn Davis Soc. Still trying to get that blue check. What is that blue check?
That means you're verified.
I need it. I want it. Give me that blue check. I want verification. I want that blue check. Man. I'm losing sleep not having that blue check. Amigo Energy, 7-Up, Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture, Bayern Munich, Gaspet Law Firm, the Houston Dynamo, Copa Centenario 2016, Bud Light, Richmond Arms, Gorgeous Gale, the King's Head Pub. We thank you for your support of this great show. All right, so 713-780-3776. Let's go to the phone lines. We'll open it up with Chris. Chris, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, Glenn. It's funny you were talking about Cristiano Ronaldo showing humility. I think you're asking too much because you're talking about somebody who's so narcissistic that he sends his personal barber to the wax museum periodically to make sure the hair is correct.
It's another world.
It really is. And, one other thing I wanted to mention was what the potential game is here in Houston next Tuesday, potentially being U.S. and Argentina. What do you think that environment's going to be like?
I think it would be amazing here in Houston. And for once, we'd have a U.S. national team coming in here maybe as the featured team. You're going to obviously have Argentina fans and Messi fans because he draws everybody and anybody when it comes to soccer. But let's not put the apple cart ahead of the horse right now. Still got to beat a great Ecuador team on Thursday that's very dangerous. Eder Valencia, Antonio Valencia, lots of movement, lots of pace there, lots of skill. It's going to take a really good game in midfield, I think, from the United States that has sort of dulled the passing range of a few players, not to get those guys on the ball. So let's not put it ahead, but, boy, that would be exciting. And I think everybody is, as always, calculating ahead and getting very excited about the potential of what the semifinal will be here. But it's going to be something great. It would be really cool in Houston for the U.S. to be in a competitive, serious tournament with something huge at stake, to be playing here in Houston, because they've only been here really for friendlies over the history.
No, absolutely. Messi, too. And it was a long time ago. And I tell you, for me personally, it's going to be hard against Messi. I lived in Barcelona for a while. That's where I found my love for soccer. And he was just a little squirt at the time. But now this would be the first time I ever rooted against Messi. How do you do that? He's like a hero to me.
Well, you can. You can. But that doesn't mean you're going to have to root against him. You just don't want his team to win that night.
There you go. I guess I'll stay with that. Thanks a lot, Glenn.
All right. Appreciate that phone call. 713-780-3776. Am I bagging on Ronaldo? I mean, do you expect an athlete of that quality, that is that talented, to maybe recognize that that's a big moment for Iceland? Or Is it just the game face and the guy just wants to win? And he was frustrated. Even though he was frustrated, he still had chances in that game, Ronaldo. I don't think any question. He set up, had a wonderful ball where he was out wide. He just kind of danced on it. He got respect, whipped in a great cross that should have been headed in. So, anyway, maybe we're making too much of it. But I like the underdog story. I like seeing countries like Iceland in this tournament doing well. I think, really, what we need to look at here is countries like Iceland and Venezuela now have made an investment in soccer to a degree. They have players playing all over the world now, so they're gaining experience. They're organized. They're tough to break down. And guess what? They're competitive. And this is the changing international soccer world right now. Nobody should be looking beyond any of these teams. Venezuela in the Copa America Centenario is a great example of it. Iceland is a great example of it. They've put money into, you know, getting people licensed as coaches and are trying to create a culture there. So don't look beyond anybody. That's the bottom line right now. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Sam. Sam, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, what's up, man? I was there at the game yesterday, Mexico-Venezuela. I just wanted the, in my personal opinion, I don't think Venezuela took any of the shine off of Mexico. I think Mexico pretty much dominated that game. They did put up a good performance. I'll give them that. But, I mean, apart from that goal in the early stages of the game, I think, you know, Mexico settled in and pretty much did whatever they, you know, they wanted. They didn't finish as well as they could have. But I think when Layun came in, when Tecatito came in, you know, that kind of just solidified, you know, the identity of who Mexico is, really, instead of, you know, the constant experimenting that Osorio has been doing throughout the World Cup. So I think it was a good performance by both teams. But I definitely do think Mexico is... was pretty much, you know, they're very superior. You know, I remember just maybe one or two.
Well, it depends, you know, how you define superior. Define superior to me.
I think they controlled the flow of the game. I think, especially on the left wing, even with Torres Nilo, when Torres Nilo started, I think he actually played a great game. Even, you know, when Layun came, it was even more evident that they could do whatever they wanted, you know, on the wings. You know, Irving Lozano was, you know, pretty much putting in work all night on the right side too.
Yeah, he was impressive. So, he was impressive in the first half. That one move he had where he worked a give and go through the heart of sort of the defense. But listen, we have to give credit to Venezuela, and I'm going to tell you why. Because that's the plan. They didn't expect to have the ball against Mexico. They invited play in. I thought. Yes, Mexico had a couple of chances in the first half, but I thought they looked very comfortable. I don't think they were overawed with the crowd. I thought they had composure. I thought they showed some danger on the counterattack. So I'm going to say, yeah, look, it was a just result. But if they had won 1-0, people would have been talking about how well organized they were and that Mexico missed a couple of chances, sure. But at the end of the day, they blocked a lot of shots. They forced the game wide. They dealt with crosses pretty well. That's the way I saw it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't take anything away from her. I think they played a great game. I think their game plan was really good. I just think the shows, I mean, from I've been a Mexico fan since I've been a kid, and, you know, I've seen plenty of times when they fall short of expectations. I think they've somehow now have the ability to overcome and, you know, impose their will when they have to. So,
we're going to find out because we're going to get to the knockout stages. And, you know, it was very interesting. I mean, how often do we see three different goalkeepers used in a tournament like this without any injury issues? I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. But are you convinced about Juan Carlos Osorio, Sam?
I like his, the majority of his experiments in the midfield, they're not. I think Oribe was, Peralta was a great addition last game. I think it was a good, decision for him to start just because he can hold the ball, he can fight. You know, I know if you remember seeing him all night going all the way down and playing some defense, you know, that's what he brings to the table. And against the Venezuelan team, he needed that. And I think that's why he stuck with him till the end. I don't necessarily agree with putting a lot of center backs, you know, playing defensive back as defensive back wingers. But I think, I hope that, you know, once we start getting into, you know, into the good stuff, playing the likes of Chile or Panama, whoever it is, I hope he finds himself with a good 11 that he feels comfortable with. And I think he has, you know, a good group of guys to pick from, definitely.
Well, listen, if that ended a 1-0 win for Venezuela, what do you think Mexico fans would be doing today?
I mean, if it was a 1-0 win, even throughout the game, I think they played a good game. But sometimes soccer is like that. I mean, we've played games against other people or other teams where we score, and the other team, kind of like Jamaica, the game we played against Jamaica, you know, they had so many opportunities. It could have been tied. We could have lost. But I think that's just soccer, man. And the Brazil game shows you how, you know, vicious soccer can be to you. But it's just a matter of taking those opportunities and making them. I think Mexico fans probably would have, you know, been a bit upset. But, you know, we had the pass on to the next round. Obviously, Argentina is kind of like our grim reaper of sorts. But I look forward to it, man. I think it's going to be a really great really great run. I'm looking forward to it.
Sam, thank you very much for the phone call. Appreciate it here tonight as, well, by the way, right now, Naib Moran of ESPN FC just walked in studio. We're going to do an interview with him. We're going to talk about Mexico and Venezuela from last night. Comes in, drops the news that Panama is up 1-0 on Chile. Now, do you like that, Mexico fans? 713-780-3776. Jermaine Jones of the U.S. men's national team will be on the show tonight. Daniel Balaguero, the St. Thomas University men's soccer coach, in tonight talking about ID camps for the college players. There's one coming up that they will be doing out in the Katy area. 713-780-3776. We're talking Euros. We're talking Copa Centenario. We've got interviews with Andrew Wenger, Jermaine Jones. And coming up after the break, Naib Moran, ESPN FC, joins me. He's in town covering Mexico. I believe he's headed to an airport tomorrow. We'll find out, but he's in town. We're going to talk some more Copa Centenario. We'll take a 7-Up break. Best in soccer talk. ESPN 97.5, self-proclaimed.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
That was the tying goal in the 80th minute out at Energy Stadium. The place absolutely erupting. Jesus Corona with an incredible goal. Ran through the heart of the Venezuelan defense. It's kind of one of those things where everything came together perfectly. You have to give him the honor of the commitment. He ran at the heart of a defense. There was hesitation. Are you tackling? Am I tackling? Next thing you know, he's passed all five, and a goal was scored. And that was a key goal for Mexico because that helps them avoid making a run to Boston on the East Coast. So they will go back out to San Jose and Santa Clara and find out who their opponent's going to be. U.S. will take on Ecuador Thursday in Seattle. We welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And we remind you of some great places to watch the Copa Centenario and the Euros. Gorgeous Gale over in West University, 55-55 Morningside. We had a great time out there, Tyler, didn't we?
Yeah, it was fun.
Good time out there. Packed house, a lot of Colombian fans there. My thanks to all the great Colombian fans. And that one Paraguayan fan who was getting a stick from a lot of the Colombian fans, and I stepped up for the Paraguayan guy. I said, hey, Colombia fans, come on, be nice to this guy. And, you know, it was a great time. Everybody's like-minded. We're all having a lot of fun with these tournaments. Also, King's Head Pub and Richmond Arms and the one and only Bar Munich in Midtown. By the way, King's Head Pub and Richmond Arms have some private rooms you can also rent out. You talk to Michael Holliday and company over there. All right, quick hit on the phone to Mark. Mark, what's on your mind, Mark?
Hello, Glenn.
Thanks
for taking my call. So I just want to respond to the initial comment about, you know, Mexico being a superior team to Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to share that soccer is a team sport. And I think it comes down to the strategy and the tactics. So sometimes a team might decide that their game plan is to sit back and play for a draw or play for essentially play for a draw, while the other team might decide that they absolutely have to win. So it comes, you know, I think controlling the play and having a lot of possession may not ultimately yield the result. So, yes, we as soccer fans always say that, yes, one team is probably better in terms of having better players and so on. But I will make the argument that at the end of the day, the team that delivers on their game plan is the team that that is better on that day. Case in point, Iceland-Portugal. Iceland was the better team because they delivered on their game plan of achieving a draw with Portugal in Euros.
Well,
those are my thoughts.
Yeah, no, listen, don't go away. I think you're making a great point because it really depends on how everybody looks at the game. And not having the ball, okay, if you want to just say, oh, Mexico had all the possession, I think we all would have went to the bank that would have happened before the game. And you might have said Venezuela influenced Mexico by not having the ball in this game. So I think Venezuela went into a locker room. I think their coach, Rafael Dudamel, said, incredible job from you guys. I think they influenced Mexico in this game. Mm-hmm. That being said, Mexico was dangerous on a handful of occasions. But for where Venezuela is and where they were positioned to win this game for 10 minutes left, they had to be doing something right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and listen, Mexico tied it on a wonderful goal. Look, I saw a very organized, a very composed Venezuela in front of a very partisan Mexico crowd. I saw them holding the ball at the right times, breaking the game up at the right times to not allow Mexico to get into a rhythm. I don't think you're ever going to leave a game without Mexico having a couple of really good chances. I just think they're that talented. They're that talented when it comes to players that are, you know, the depth of that squad that Osorio has. But, I mean, who's not impressed? I mean, I think Mexico fans are impressed with what Venezuela did. We were talking about it ahead of time. They score a spectacular goal and then carry out a very clear and visible game plan. They gave it up a little bit out wide, but they felt they could deal with the crosses, which for the most part, I think they did pretty well with.
Yeah, so, you know, I totally agree, Glenn. I think at the end of the day, being that it's a team sport, and that team includes the coach, if the U.S. would go out and play Brazil, our game plan may be to keep it compact and go for the fast brace and try to score when they have lapses on the back. And if we come out with a 2-0 win, I would say we're the better team on that day. They might have better players, but if we deliver on our game plan, that's my view of soccer, is a team that delivers on their game plan and wins goes forward in the tournament.
Well,
so, you know, I think coaches have an opportunity when they go out to play weaker teams who they know are going to pack it in and try to be compact at the back, to do more with set pieces, try to get more set pieces, try to get more corners. Either way will give you opportunity to get that penalty and win by applying pressure.
Well, listen, you know, I don't think there's any question. The great equalizer now to individual talent is obviously tactics. It's obviously team. We saw a wonderful example of that with Leicester City in the Premier League. We're seeing a nice example of it with Venezuela. So, look, there are these smaller countries now, and we're going to repeat something I said already, that are investing in the game, are getting players like Venezuela. All their players pretty much play in Europe. If you look at their roster, they're all over the place at differing levels, but they're gaining experience. They did not look overawed, and they are going to be challenges to break down. Cristiano Ronaldo can cry about the way Iceland played today because they defended and defended like animals and kept fairly good tight lines throughout the game. It's not like they didn't understand that that was going to happen to them. It was obvious. They had time to prepare for it. I think Mexico knew this was going to be a very tough game against Venezuela as well. So be wary of talented teams that are from small soccer-playing nations. They're all challenges now. Mark, thank you very much for the phone call.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right. I bring in Naib Moran now, and we're going to continue to take phone calls. And you guys join the discussion with Naib and I. So what'd you think of what Mark just said? I like Mark's take that, you know, we do all look at the game very differently.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Mark says is interesting about the fact that, you know, the game plan from Venezuela was an interesting one. For 80 minutes of the game, I think Mexico was more than worried about what the result would turn out to be. It's worth noting that Venezuela made several changes. There weren't several of its main stars. I think they made four changes to the team that beat Uruguay at Lincoln Financial
Field. As did Mexico.
Mexico did plenty of changes. But what we saw was what you just said, Glenn. I think Juan Carlos Osorio said after the game that the level of play between teams is not that far off. I mean, of course, you know, Mexico is a soccer nation, and Venezuela, we could say that it's a baseball nation. But Venezuela has come a far way, you know, since the 2000s, you know, now.
Oh, way back with Richard Páez.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And I think that should be noted. I mean, who thought that Venezuela was going to make it out of this group when Uruguay and Mexico were?
And I love what you're saying, Naib, because we need to remind people, this is not overnight with Venezuela. This has been a slow rise to the top. It's been the changing of a culture. It's been more emphasis on football in that country because you said it. It was initially a baseball country.
And exactly. And right now, Venezuela's living a political turmoil, one can say. And this team is representing a ray of hope to the country. I mean, you see these players playing inspiring football, beating Uruguay, taking Mexico down to the limit in front of a crowd that was pro-Mexico. I mean, this was in Venezuela 50, Mexico 50. And I think they took it all the way to the wire. It's going to be interesting against Argentina. It's looking like it will be Argentina. Panama and Chile are already 1-1, actually. Chile's coming back. So, you know, we'll see how Venezuela does against Argentina.
We love the ebb and flow of this whole thing. Great points you bring up there, Naib. And look, Venezuela's conceded one goal, and it came in the 80th minute to Mexico in group play. If they end up playing Argentina, they're going to cause some problems, likely for Argentina as well. They're not going to make it an easy night. All right, to the phone lines we go, and Mark. Mark, you're on with Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Naib Moran, who is a journalist and writer for ESPN FC, who's going to be in town for a while. We're going to have Naib back on the program again next week ahead of the semifinals. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Glenn?
How are you?
I want to talk about the two matches here that we had in Houston, the Colombia-Costa Rican match and the Mexican-Venezuela match.
Do it.
You know, I'm very happy with the results of the match because, you know, for, you know, a team like Colombia who's fighting, you know, to, you know, win that group, to put the team out there that they put out against Costa Rica and for them to end up losing and then losing the top spot of their group. I mean, it just comes to show, you know, you can't disrespect your opponent like that, you know. Costa Rica had nothing to play for, you know? They could have just gone out there, played the whole bench, whatever, and nobody would have said anything.
Yeah, they were playing for pride. I agree. And 10 changes, I mean, that's something you rarely ever see.
I don't think I remember ever hearing that. Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about a soccer squad that, I mean, that did really well at the World Cup. Granted, they're not as strong as they were when they were at the World Cup. But, I mean, it's still a soccer country, soccer team that, you know, that is really strong, you know, especially, you know, I mean, they've played big matches. I mean, they've been to World Cup. So they know this is not something new for them. And then as far as the Mexico-Venezuela match, I mean, you know, I'm happy with the result as well. I mean, because, I mean, Venezuela out there showed true heart and passion. You know, the defense, that goalie was amazing last night. You know, and, you know, except for the one little, you know, obviously screw up when Corona, you know, scored on them. But that team showed so much pride and passion, you know, especially with all the turmoil that's going on in Venezuela and all this stuff, to be a ray of hope for that country, or, you know, for it to be a little, you know, sports is always meant to be that distraction from, you know, the real life and problems. But, you know, and I think that's what Venezuela's doing for the country right now.
I don't think there's any question. The nationalism and that side of it is fantastic. It has been. 26-minute Chile and Panama tied at one, as I mentioned. Argentina, Bolivia later tonight in the Copa America Centenario. Yeah, I mean, to see Iceland do what they did today, I mean, it was so exciting. I mean, it was like half the country was there. You know, they're such a small country, and their fans are there, and they're celebrating, you know, the 1-1 draw with Portugal. And you know, you just see these moments of happiness for people. We got so much garbage going on in this world right now with this whole thing that we just saw down in Orlando, and people just wanting to slaughter people for the hell of it. And so, I mean, these are moments that we got to put our arms around and really kind of cherish, I think, because, boy, I'll tell you, it can be easy to get depressed sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. Truly, I mean, you know, it's great to see that kind of stuff out there, especially in the world of sports. You know, where a soccer team can, you know, raise its level like that. You know, I mean, competing against teams like Mexico. You know, because like I said, you know, Venezuela isn't the big powerhouse soccer team that ever, you know, like the other South American teams like Argentina or Brazil, you know, or Uruguay. But you know, here they are. You know, I mean, they were about 20 minutes away from winning the group.
They sure were. Mark, thank you very much for the phone call. Great point. We appreciate you coming on the program.
Thank you, Glenn. Have a good one.
Yeah. So, Naib, I mean, even here in Houston, and I don't know, you just got here.
Yeah,
you've been all over the country. For me, it's just, you know, I see Colombian jerseys everywhere, some of the nicest people, really fun, great fans. I mean, all these different countries, you know, repping here in Houston. Obviously, we're a city that's, you know, about eventually going to be the third largest in the country, but just seeing the nationalistic pride is wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the exciting factors, you know, when the NRG Stadium was announced to have, you know, both group stage games and also the semifinals, which will happen next week. I mean, I think it's not unknown the power, you know, that soccer has in this city. And I think it's, you see it, I mean, I think it's growing significantly, you know, with what I've been able to see. I remember back in the day when Colombia was a Copa Oro invitee, you know, and they played Mexico here in this in Reliance Stadium, back when it was called Reliance Stadium, and the crowd was humongous, you know. And now when I saw the Colombia Costa Rica, it was a pro Colombia crowd. I mean, the whole bottom section was all yellow.
Demographic shift.
Exactly. So you see the growth of different you know, the populations of different countries being represented in this city, and I think it benefits the whole, you know, the growth of the sport here. And of course, I think the Dynamo have to pay attention at what's going on in the last 2 weeks. You know, there's the population is there. It's trying to find the ways to attract those thousands that went to the stadium yesterday and Saturday and will potentially go next week.
Yeah, the diversity at the Dynamo game, well, that's something that MLS is seeking out here in a lot of markets, including Houston. We need the passion of these people behind the Dynamo.
Exactly. You know,
to blend in with the corporate side of things and all of that goes on. All right, Naib Moran here, ESPN FC. We're going to continue on with Naib. We're going to come back again. Mexico and Venezuela, by the way, tied on points, but the goal differential was a +4 for Mexico to a +2 for Venezuela. So that was a difference. But well-organized, a team that moved together well. It's a great game from both teams. The commitment, the effort, the edge. How competitive that game was last night. That's the one thing I really walked away with. Take a quick break here. 7-Up break. We'll be back with more.
Juan Fran, buscando, le salió bien el regate. Juan Fran la pone con la izquierda, vaya centro, que saca Rosicky. Recupera Pedro.
Vamos, Iniesta.
Pedro para Andrés.
Vámonos.
Ahí va don Andrés Iniesta. Iniesta.
¡Ahí!
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
That was the Bayern Munich goal of the week. Gerard Piqué for Spain. They get a win in the Euros. Bayern Munich in Midtown, Louisiana. Get down there, see my friend Raymond. They're showing Copa America, Centenario. They're showing the Houston Dynamo. Actually, we'll be on TV this weekend, Eddie Robinson and I, on Root Sports with the Dynamo taking on D.C. United. It's just weird to think that MLS is going to get back going here with these tournaments just in full flight. It's strange. 713-780-3776 is the number. Next Level Soccer ID is hosting a Boys and Girls College recruiting camp June 18th and 19th. Boys, July 16th through 17th, Katy, Texas. It's open to all high school age players, freshmen to seniors. Top coaches from Brown, Air Force, Holy Cross, Trinity, UNC Charlotte. Next Level Soccer Ideas, run by University of St. Thomas head coach Dan Balaguerra and Nick Bajarakovic, who's the women's coach. $50 discount for all Soccer Matters listeners. Code is COPA50, www.nextlevelsoccerid.com. Jurgen Klinsmann hoping the Copa America stays in the U.S. permanently. What do you think about that, Naeem?
I mean, I think it's a boost of confidence, no? For him, and I think for the players. I mean, I think the idea had been questioned going into this tournament as to whether the players were really with Klinsmann. And after the results, I mean, the Paraguay win, of course, the Costa Rica win, you know, against the Costa Rica that had, you know, Borges and Joel Campbell. Of course, it didn't have Keylor Navas, so I think it's a big miss for them. But nonetheless, I think the U.S., you know, finished on top of the group. It was a difficult group. I mean, they call it the group of death when this tournament started. So I think, and now they're going to play against Ecuador at Seattle, you know, a place where I believe that the U.S. will definitely have home field advantage. I mean, it will feel like
this
home.
Is something that all the U.S. fans are really wrapping their arms around. I mean, yeah. Look, we without a doubt, Seattle is one of the top drawing soccer places in the world. Listen, it's outdoing a lot of places in the world. So this is a true home for the United States when it comes to volume of fans that are going to be there. I think this is a significant moment in U.S. soccer history Thursday night against Ecuador.
It is. And I mean, I think, you know, they beat Ecuador, which they already did a couple of weeks ago. Of course, you know, it's a friendly in Frisco, but I think that already, you know, gives a sense of how to defeat this team. An athletic Ecuadorian side, I would say, you know, filled with players who are part of the Independiente del Valle, a club that is the Cinderella story in the Copa Libertadores. And I think that is important. Also, Ecuador, as Venezuela, is a team that has already exported multiple players to Europe. You know, Valencia is one of them. Ener Valencia, Antonio Valencia, who plays in Manchester United. You know, Jefferson Montero is another one who's in Swansea. And I think, you know, it's a lot of speed. It's a lot of speed. And I think that's where the back line will have to step up for the U.S.
Yeah, I think it's the back line, but I also think it's controlling the middle third of the field in order to sort of cut off the supply and make sure, you know, the likes of playmaking type of players aren't able to knock balls over the top and that the U.S. really gets good pressure on the ball. I mean, I think it's a monster game for Michael Bradley, Jermaine Jones, Bedoya. All these guys, I think, have lived up to these moments of where effort, closing down players with a ball at their feet, not allowing an opponent time and space. They've done that. That's how they survived in the World Cup. Yeah. And it can happen again against Ecuador. I'm picking the U.S. to beat Ecuador. You mentioned you liked the center back Arturo Mina Mesa for Ecuador. Let's talk about a couple other guys. Walter Ayovi.
Yeah.
36 years of age. Monterrey.
A name we
all know.
Yeah. I mean, a good left foot, athletic left back. He's like wine. You know, the older he gets, the better he becomes.
That's what and, we all hope.
Yeah. I mean, it's a special story. It's not easy to be a starter in Liga MX, I think, especially now that they changed this rule where, you know, a squad list, an 18-man squad list, 10 of the players have to be foreigners, 8 of the players have to be Mexican-born. So we'll see where Ayovi fits here. But Ayovi is a player that has made a name for himself in Mexico. And has been able to stand out and be one of the leaders of this Ecuadorian national team for many years already. I'm talking about a decade almost.
Keep that thought, because I want to go back to that rule in Mexico, because I think that's very interesting. Carlos Grueso plays for FC Dallas. Impressive holding type midfielder. There's another one to keep an eye on. We talked about the two Valencias.
Yeah, those are the type of players they want to see come to MLS.
From Stuttgart.
Young player, young midfielder who, you know, maybe didn't stand out over there in the Bundesliga, but has an opportunity over here in the U.S. and has taken advantage of it to the point that, you know, he's a starter for the Ecuadorian national team.
So what about the U.S.? They've got a big issue, and that is obviously the sending off of DeAndre Yedlin, another learning moment for him.
Yeah.
He saw the red mist. So we saw that the U.S. did use in friendlies, they put Matt Beisler at left back. For me, the one thing you don't do, you do not break up Jeff Cameron and John Brooks right now. You keep that pairing together because those two guys can cover laterally beautiful.
Yeah.
So I don't think Klinsmann will break those two up. I think that would be the kiss of death. And I think it's either Orozco or Castillo who comes in and Fabian Johnson remains as an outside back, maybe move to the right.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. I mean, I think that's one of the things with the Mexican national team, finding consistency in the back line. You know, with Osorio, there's been different, you know, there's been different back lines in the first three matches in the group stage. And I think that sort of has complicated, you know, that interaction and communication in certain moments of the matches. I mean, I think there has to be a constant there in the center backs. Now, you mentioned Glenn Cameron and Brooks have been, I think, really solid so far for the U.S. And, of course, you don't want to break that. And then we'll see up ahead. I'm really impressed with Bobby Wood. I think, you know, he's been an integral part of the team. Maybe the goals are not in bunches, but his, you know, work rate and everything in that position, you know, goes back in defense and attacks as well.
Listen, the U.S. has to have strikers at work. We know that.
Yeah.
They have to have strikers that have a high work ethic. I think another nice thing that's happening here is the fact that we understand that there's life after Jozy Altidore. There are other options. And, you know, we really haven't seen out a lot of the Darlington Nagbe desires.
The Pulisic.
So, you know, it's amazing how a couple of results changes the way everybody looks at everything. Because, boy, we were on the ledge, about ready to fall off the ledge after that opening game against Colombia.
Yeah. And I think we have to see it from both aspects. I mean, right now we're talking about, for example, Venezuela. And the qualifiers, they're not doing excellent. They're actually doing bad. But now in this short tournament, they're doing amazing. With the U.S., I think we got to see it the same way. I mean, I think I remember last Gold Cup with Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago going far in the tournament. And I asked the question to the coach, and it was like, will this move to the hexagonal, to the qualifiers, meaning? And the coach said, no, well, it changes. I mean, it's these moments of you know, union in short periods of time that work, and the results come, and then you never know what's going to happen 3 weeks from now, 3 months from now.
Tournaments are tricky, Naib, because I think we all have this tendency to rush to judgment of what has happened in the moment. I mean, that's the way it is. That's what sports fans do. That's what comentaristas do and commentators do. That's the way it goes. So, you know, here's Italy, who has this great result against Belgium, who is everybody's, you know, picked as one of the top teams, although I don't think Belgium, to me, is cohesive. I don't think they've been pulled together. They're missing Vincent Kompany and leadership. But Italy plays a wonderful game with a lot of new people. And, you know, everybody's going through the moon right now. Now, the real key is what does Italy do on Friday?
Yeah. I mean, I think in the Euro, it's been like that, no? I mean, Spain had a tough time beating Czech Republic. France had a tough time beating Romania. Germany with Ukraine. I mean, it was a 2-0 win, but Ukraine had its chances. I mean, it's difficult here. I mean, you know, with these tournaments and so forth, defining, you know, the favorite. You know, especially in the Euro. I mean, there's so many options. Like, for example, even Iceland today with the win with the draw against Portugal, but it does feel like a win. For a country that is debuting, no?
Yeah, absolute history for them. That was wonderful to watch today. I mean, I love seeing the underdogs sometimes now get some of the due that I think people want to see these stories, and people don't want it to be the same old with, you know, the big soccer playing nations dominating everything. I mean, we can also talk about the decline of Brazil. Nobody fears Brazil anymore.
Exactly.
How far do we take the extent of what Germany did to them in front of their entire country?
Yeah.
I mean, how psychologically
deep was that wound that Germany put on Brazil and absolutely smoking them down there?
I mean, I think there what you see with Brazil is just that they're losing their essence or losing their identity in some way or another. Because when you think about it, I remember in 2002, you know, it was Ronaldinho, Ronaldo, Rivaldo, the last, you know, the last champ, the last World Cup. And now, you know, in the 2014 World Cup, I think the striker was Fred. Fred is not nowhere near what Ronaldo was in the last year. So I think you've seen more talent? Defenders. You know, it's a lack of talent. I mean, you've seen more defenders being exported to Europe, Brazilian defenders, for example. Mm-hmm. And then the high prices with David Luiz, Thiago Silva, and all that.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable what's going on in a lot of different countries and the emergence of these smaller countries, like we mentioned, that with tactics and teamwork have really narrowed the gap between talent and tactics. So pretty remarkable. Okay, a couple of things here. First, before we take a quick break, Next Level Soccer ID hosting Boys and Girls College recruiting camps June 18th and 19th is the boys. It's this coming weekend, July 16th and 17th, the girls and Katie. It's open to all high school age players from freshmen to seniors. Now, you got coaches from Brown, Air Force, Holy Cross, Trinity, UNC Charlotte, on and on we go. Campbell, bunch of different colleges coming in. So you play in front of these coaches. MLS ID is run by University of St. Thomas head coach Dan Balaguerra and Nick Bajarekovic, who is the women's coach. Dan is the men's coach. Nick is the women's coach. $50 discount for all Soccer Matters listeners. Code COPA50, www.nextlevelsoccerid.com. And I'm going to speak real quickly here on behalf of my favorite political party. You know what that is? Naeem, do you know?
No, I don't know.
It's the Bud Light party. There's a lot of Bud Light being hoisted around last night at Energy, drinking it and tossing it. People say the country's divided, that we disagree on everything. It's not true. We agree on a lot. Like puppy videos. Everybody loves puppy videos, three-day weekends, free parking, queso, margaritas, Messi. I'm not sure I like Cristiano Ronaldo today, man. Bagging on Iceland. That's low. It's a low blow. You know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light party and myself. Tuesday nights for the best in soccer talk. We'll take a break. It's a 7-Up. It's a Bud Light break.